God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we're going to focus our attention on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2 as we hear about Jesus as a 12-year-old boy who knew even at that point in time that he must be in his Father's house. You may be seated. It really is nice to be settling back into a routine after all the excitement of Christmas and of New Year's. All of that is wonderful, but also knowing what's going to be happening every day and knowing the schedule and keeping it regular is also a wonderful thing as well. Maybe you're still reveling in some of the Christmas and New Year's celebration, finishing up some of those leftover meals. I think there might still be a couple of cookies on a plate until Charlie gets there later on today. But we revel in it, we keep it going for a little bit longer, don't we? For the most part, though, part of this celebratory season is traveling. And as we travel, we probably are about done with that, I imagine, right? Back into this regular routine. Talked to some people this morning about going back to work tomorrow for the first time in a couple of weeks at least. And so the travel that we do now will be the regular travel, not the one that we've done, the travel that we've done over the last few weeks, visiting relatives, going to see friends and family, attending parties. Or maybe some of you were able to get a little bit further away during this Christmas season. We stayed put, but we welcomed family who traveled from quite a distance to see us. And we certainly know from watching TV on Wednesday night, and I'm sure all of you saw at least some of it, all the people who gathered together in Times Square in New York City to see that ball drop, right? My family made the huge journey all the way up to see the cheese drop in Plymouth. Just as exciting, I hear, as the ball drop in Times Square. We don't think of people in the first century, though, traveling all that much, do we? Especially during the holiday times. And their holiday times were certainly different than ours are now. But if we look back on our lessons from these last couple of weeks, we realize that Jesus really did have a whirlwind itinerary in those early days. And unless you're a business person with a need to jet all over the place, most of our travel that we do is going to be for pleasure. But for Jesus, it was all business. And our text this morning reminds us that wherever he went, and whatever traveling he did, Jesus was always about his Father's business. If you think about it, his entire life was an amazing set of business trips. Endless, here and there and everywhere on business. When I traveled for business, which I did for about 3 years or so, staying multiple nights each week in hotels, and being on multiple flights each month, I'll tell you, it got old pretty quick. At first, there's this excitement about it. But after a while of that endless coming and going, it really does wear on you. And I don't remember really complaining about it, but there were certainly times when I would have much rather stayed put than get on another airplane or stay another night in a hotel room. But not Jesus. Never a complaint, never a hesitation, always about his Father's business. And it began with what we just celebrated over these last couple of weeks. Because first and foremost, Jesus' travel began when he left his throne in heaven to become a growing baby inside of his mother Mary. It's almost unbelievable that our Lord would do such a thing, take such a trip, give up what he had, all then to take another trip on a bumpy road while his mother rode a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then when they got there, to not even have a place to stay when they arrived. And then at 40 days old, Jesus traveled to Jerusalem and then back again to Bethlehem before the necessary flight to Egypt, and then sometime later on returning to Nazareth. If Jesus was getting frequent flyer miles in those early years, I'm sure he would have racked up quite a few free flights. But then the travelogue ends there. We don't get anything more about Jesus and his trips until he turns 12. There's a number of years of gap in there. And then from today's gospel, we hear that Jesus takes this exciting new trip. Since his family has returned from Egypt, probably when Jesus was maybe 3 or 4, possibly, Mary and Joseph would have taken this trip each and every year. But this is likely Jesus' first opportunity to join them. Have you ever thought about that? This trip that we hear about Jesus going on when he's 12 years old is probably the first time that he's been back in Jerusalem. Because that age of 12 is an important one. It was at that time the age of religious majority. So, and it really is the same way in Judaism even today. If you've heard of the bar or bat mitzvah, the age for that is still around age 12 or 13. So it's likely that this is Jesus' first opportunity to join his parents as they travel to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which is that annual commemoration of the Exodus. But of course, the Son of God, Jesus, the one who is now traveling with his parents to Jerusalem, had already traveled that road with his people. The very original road, the same road that he took out of Jerusalem as he went back to Nazareth, he had traveled centuries before that at the original Exodus, when the Son of God acted as the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, leading his people out of slavery in Egypt. But then this trip that his parents expected him to take, the one back to Nazareth from Jerusalem, Jesus decided he wasn't going to take that one. All of that travel was a result of the fact that Jesus was constantly about his Father's business. In fact, that verse that we now translate most commonly as, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Those of you who might remember hearing that verse in the King James Version will probably remember it like this. "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" About my Father's business. That's how the King James translates this verse. And not just about his Father's business here on this journey, but in every trek that he ever took. Every one of them had been about business. And on this particular trip, when Jesus is 12 years old, discussing the scriptures was the business on which his Father had sent him. Even at this tender age, Jesus is doing his work as the Messiah. He's spreading the good news. He's doing the work that he was sent to do. He's preparing hearts and minds of those who would eventually look back and marvel at what they maybe should have seen in the first place, but maybe they missed. We don't hear anything more about Jesus' travels for the next 18 years, but we know that they would continue until the business was complete. But what Luke does share here with us is that he went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, learning and growing in obedience to his parents, both his earthly ones, Mary and Joseph, but also obedient to his heavenly Father. We know that at the end of this Christmas season, it really is just the beginning. Jesus grew up so that he could finish his Father's business. And Luke doesn't share what sort of scripture Jesus was discussing with those teachers in the temple. But imagine this. Imagine if the suffering servant himself was schooling those teachers on Isaiah 53. Or imagine if the actual good shepherd was lecturing on Psalm 23. How amazing would that have been? And Jesus would travel back to Jerusalem some 21 years later to finish the Father's business and to finish that business there on the cross. And when he said those words, "It is finished," that meant that his work was completed for us and for our salvation. His Father's business was done. And he never diverted from that business that was at hand or from everything that he did, because every trip that he made was a step closer to the ultimate completion of that business there on the cross. All of that travel, all of it for business, and yet Jesus never really left his Father's house. In that more common translation of verse 49, the one that we use today, Jesus asks his parents, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" The reason that Jesus didn't take that trip back to Nazareth right away was because he knew that it wasn't his time to leave the temple. He wasn't yet prepared to leave his Father's house. And even then, when he did leave, he'd keep coming back. That same trip for Passover would be taken every year, and there likely were plenty of other opportunities for him to visit Jerusalem as well. And we know for sure that he returned during that final Passover week to finish the Father's business. But actually, Jesus was never away from his Father's house at all. The temple was that place that symbolized God's dwelling among his people. But Jesus is one with the Father. So wherever Jesus is, there the Father is also. Jesus is the temple. He is the Father's house. He is, in fact, God dwelling in and among his people. It's why he came, to dwell with us. Emmanuel. That's what it means, God with us. And more amazing than either those teachers in the temple or Mary and Joseph could have possibly realized, here among them was the very presence of the Father. Whoever had seen Jesus had seen the Father. And that also carries over then for us as well. When we're here in church, we are in the Father's house. Not just because it's a place that's set aside for worship, but because Jesus continues to dwell here. And we're not just here to visit his house and then to go back home, like we do when we visit relatives over the holidays. We're here in the Father's house to be about the Father's business. We come because of what's here. And what's here is Christ, truly present in the Word and in the sacraments. Christ baptizing and drawing people unto himself. Christ speaking through the voice of your pastor. And Christ truly present in his body and blood, which is laid before us on the altar. That all makes this truly the Father's house. And that's a powerful reality because of all the blessings of the Father's business. What Christ accomplished, what he completed on the cross and by his empty tomb, are right here in this place for us, right here in his house. right here in this place, we receive forgiveness and life and salvation. And just like Jesus and the Father being one meant that Jesus was never separated from his Father's house, we don't have to leave those gifts here when the service is over. We take them with us because Christ comes with us to our homes, to our families, to our workplaces, to our schools. And Christmas does certainly seem like the easiest time of the year to share all of this and all of these gifts with others. But we can't let it end there. Just because Christmas is over, we can't stop sharing that love that's been given to us. We can't stop giving the gifts that we have once received. People need to see us carrying Christ with us at all times and in all places. And more importantly than that, they need to see how Christ carries us and how Christ will carry them. These are the messages that resonate from the baby lying in the manger. Across all of his travels, all of his business accomplished, and which still resound for us today. So it's our task. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit's task, but he gives it to us and he works it through us. It's our task to make sure that everyone knows about Jesus and his Father's business that was accomplished at the cross, that was sealed in his resurrection, and which continues today as his love is shared with all the world. May God give you the strength to be the messengers that share that love. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I invite you to be seated.